You're listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power Radio Program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Right now. Okay, so 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 8. Go to verse 8. And read.
Verse 8 says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman."
Where was a great woman? Now, I told you all last week that women in the Bible can be figurative or symbolic of the church. Amen, somebody. They can represent the church. God could be speaking about the church indirectly. Come on, somebody. He could be telling you about the church without talking directly about the church. Everybody get this? So you can look at every woman in the Bible as being symbolic of the church. Now you say, well, there was some bad women in the Bible, where there are some bad churches. Amen. We're not denying that. Oh, glory to God. And so read. The Bible says she constrained him. She constrained the man of God. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. You want to know what makes a church great? Ooh, glory to God. I'm gonna say that again. You want this word constrain? It means to compel. It means to make someone do something that's not willing. In other words, you're going to find out that he was not willing, but she constrained him. Come on. She worked. There's times that my wife is not willing, and I'll keep talking at her, come on, go with me. Come on, come. And I'll constrain her to go with me. Y'all getting this? Oh, glory to God. It means to force. Somebody say force. Now let me back up before I say go on. First off, she's constraining the prophet of God. God's mouthpiece on the earth. God's anointed. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. And so, because his name, Elisha, it means God is my salvation. And you need to try to constrain the things, come on, that you just might need sometime in the future. Come on, somebody. Come on, you Bible scholars. Come on, you praying folks. Where y'all getting this? It means force. Oh, glory to God. In other words, I'm going to make it real hard, because what she did is that she would constrain him to come in and have a meal. Finish reading that, and then I'll...
And she constrained him to eat bread.
Right.
And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick, and it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in thither."
Ooh, 'cause I'm gonna make it hard for you to pass by my house. Come on. I'm going to make it hard, oh glory to God, for you to pass by my house and not stop. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to learn to make room. Come on. You got to learn to make room for the things of God. Come on, somebody. You got to learn to make room. Are you getting it, daughter? Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Kind of puts you in mind when Jesus his parents was trying to get in the inn, and the Bible says there wasn't no room in the inn. And sometimes, oh glory to God, we don't make room. Here, let me show you something. Here, she said, hey, let's build a room. We don't have no room to put him in, but we're going to build a room. Oh glory to God, we're going to make room. We're going to make it hard, come on, for all of this anointing, come on. Oh glory to God, keep passing by my house and not stop. Y'all get this. All right. Y'all looking at me, because some of y'all looking at me like a cow looking at me fix. Oh, glory to God. Y'all getting this revelation? Y'all getting it the way the Lord showed it to me? You got to constrain. You got to constrain. Oh, glory to God. You got to be like, who was that? Jacob wrestled. He wrestled with God. I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Oh, glory to God. You ain't going nowhere. Come on. Oh, glory. Potato chips and aspirin. I'll be all right. Hallelujah. Because one of the meanings of constraint, it means to twist your arm. I'm going to twist your arm. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. It's going to be, I'm going to force you to do it. Come on. I'm going to cook this meal so good. Come on. Oh, glory to God. When I know you coming, I know the season. You've been coming through here for a while. Come on. I'm going to make I know that you come through here every month on the 15th. I'm going to make the best meal that I'm making roast beef, collard greens, macaroni and cheese. Come on, somebody. Hold on. My fault. I almost forgot I'm preaching here. Woo, glory to God. I almost thought about one of my wife meals. Okay. Right, how she constrained me to eat. Oh, glory. Folks say, the way your wife cook, why you ain't gained all that weight yet, you know? I had to go out and go walking, man of God. I'm telling you. All right. It means press. Press. I'll press on you. I'll press on you. Oh, glory to God. I'll pressure you to do it. Oh, glory to God. See, because this name means God is salvation. It's a good way of saying the name means salvation. Salvation. And you got to make room for that which can save you in your time of trouble. You're going to find out, let me skip down the page a little bit. You're going to find out that she was a great woman. She had money. She had a whole lot of stuff. She had it going on. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. And but yet the man of God found an area that she didn't have it going on in. Come on. But yet, she had to make room. Okay, all right. Y'all want me to move on? Oh, glory to God. Go a little bit further here, let me see. To when her son died. Let's get a little. Drop to 18. Go to verse 18. As a matter of fact, go to verse 15. Let's hit 15. Read.
Verse 15. Uh-huh. And he said, Elisha said unto her, call her. And when he had called her.
Because Elisha was trying to figure out, how can I bless this woman? Come on. How can I? She's been blessing me. Come on. They built the room for me. And feeding me, how can I be a blessing to them? Read.
And Elisha said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door.
She stood at the door, because doors represent places of transition. It means you're either coming or going. She was about to transition into a season that she had never experienced before in her life. Okay, all right. She was about to come. Okay, all right. Read. Time to stay there. Read.
And he said, about this season, according to the time of life.
See, when she was standing in the door, she don't know that she stepped into a new season. Amen. Read.
According to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived, and she bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown.
Now, this grown that he's talking about, it doesn't mean that he was grown up. He had grown some. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Because you're going to see that his mother took him upstairs later on. You're going to see his mother carried him upstairs. And so I just can't see his mother carrying a full-grown man upstairs unless she was some type of woman. Amen. Read.
In the same child, when the child was older, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, the father did, carry him to his mother.
Now a lot of scholars believe that he had a heat stroke. Come on. And I believe from the past reading and studying this out, one of the signs of a heat stroke is that like a headache. Amen. I really didn't dabble into this. Read.
Verse 20, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then the child died.
The child died. How many of you all in here, you have birthed something and it has died? I'm not talking about a child, but I'm talking about sometimes we birth things. Come on. Oh, glory to God. We birth things. Hallelujah. And it has died. Come on. Oh, glory to God. How many know that the resurrected is in the house?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Read.
And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God.
Okay, so he couldn't have been that big of a guy, a grown man yet, because she was able to bring him up, take him upstairs. And this is why we got to be careful, because sometimes, let me say this here, because sometimes you can think that you're ready to go out to reap, ready to go out in the field, and you just might not be ready. Oh, glory to God. Just some things you're not ready for.
Yes.
He probably was young and dumb and didn't know enough to drink water. Come on. Keep on drinking water to stay hibernated. Come on. Drinking water. The word of hydrated. Okay. The Bible says that the word of God shall flow up out of your belly. The Bible makes reference to the word of God being like what? Like water. Come on. Water. Because, hey, anytime you're doing work for God, you got to keep drinking the water. Come on. Oh, glory to God. You got, that's good. That's good revelation. Oh, glory to God. You got to keep drinking the water. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. I'm glad somebody caught that one. Read.
Amen. And she went up and she laid him on the bed of the man of God, and she shut the door upon him and went out.
Sometimes you gotta shut the doors. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes when the enemy stick his head up, you gotta shut doors. I hit this a little bit last week, and I'll hit it again. Oh, glory to God. There are times we have to shut doors. When the enemy is sticking his head up, we have to check ourselves. Sometimes it's not because you sin, but just in case. There are times that I'm like, okay, God, is it me or is it just an attack? Come on. Oh, glory to God. And then I'll just start repenting of everything that I can. You know, there's a list that in the Bible, you can look up, you can Google it, 666 sins. Come on. I got to pull it out and start going through the 666 sins or whatever. Just, Lord, forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. Come on. Some of that, as a matter of fact, it's really a good list. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to. Some of that stuff is up under the law. It's up under the dispensation of the law, and you need to understand that. But some stuff is just, hey, it's good. It's just calling it out. And, you know, when I go through that little list, me and my wife, we usually go through it at the beginning of the year. Hallelujah. Sometimes we gotta shut doors because the enemy is trying to gain access. And the moment that you say, Lord, I repent, come on somebody, oh glory to God, repentance puts you back in right standing with God. It shuts down the case against you. Come on. Oh, glory to God. The enemy got you on trial, and the enemy is telling God, I got the right to do this, and I got the right to do that. But the moment you say, God, I'm sorry. And you ain't gonna, let me say this, stop beating yourself up. All have sinned and come short of his glory. But pray and ask God, help me not to continue in this thing. Give me the grace. Come on. Where sin abound, grace do much more. Give me the grace. Come on, to stop doing it. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes you just got to be real with God. God, I like this. I like doing this. You got to help me because I like doing it. You got to take the taste out of my mouth. You got to do this. You got to do that. Come on. I guess anybody ever been there?
Yeah, we've been there.
All right, let's check it. God, I like it when you're real with him.
Yes.
David, yes. Man, David, hey, Saul made excuses. David just told it like it is. I'm the man. I'm the man. Oh, glory to God. I came. And it's because God, because this is the wonderful thing about God. God is so wonderful. He worked with you in your weaknesses. He already knew you were going to mess up before you messed up, when you messed up, because you messed up, why you messed up. Awesome God. Hallelujah. He loves, you know, because let me say this here. To be a good Christian, you're going to have to be a professional repenter. Be a good Christian. Every good Christian you see is somebody that's a real good repenter. Come on. That know how to say, God, I'm sorry. I ain't got no excuse. Come on, I talk about God. I ain't even making no excuse for this. I just messed up.
And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And the husband said, wherefore wilt thou go unto him today? It's neither new moon, it's not Sabbath. And she said unto her husband, it shall be well.
It is well. Come on.
Amen.
This is what makes some people, some churches, some people in the body of Christ great. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory. Because they know how to look at all hell breaking out and not say what the devil want them to say. Not say how they're feeling. I feel so. We got drama kings and drama queens in the Bible. I mean, in the body of Christ. Oh, glory to God. We got to look past our feeling, because that's all it is. It's a feeling. It's your emotions. And the devil knows how to trigger our emotions. He knows that, guess what? I can get somebody to say this here, and it'll trigger. Do you know the devil uses triggers? He uses triggers in marriage. Oh, glory to God. Me and my wife, we don't buy one out of our triggers. I'll say something, she's looking at me like, man, you don't get out of my face. Come on, that don't really don't work no more. Come on, triggers. Just to trigger you. To trigger your emotions. And there could be something not at the forefront of your mind, but in your subconscious at the back of your mind. And he'll trigger it and bring it to the forefront of your mind and start you going in a motion or a direction. Come on. You wasn't even planning on traveling this road, but because he triggered you, now he got you crying, he got you hurt, he got you, and you're ready to beat somebody, beat the brakes off of somebody. Come on. Because of a trigger. Oh, what are you doing? Read, daughter.
And she saddled up the donkey, and she said to the servant, drive and go forward.
Ride, baby, ride. Read.
And slack not thy riding for me, except I ask you.
Now, I don't know how far the man of God lived from her house. Come on. Glory to God. But it's not like us when we jump in the car and we could be somewhere in 20 minutes. Oh, glory to God. I'm looking at least probably an hour or two, but that woman, she was riding that donkey. She was probably whooping the brakes. She was probably whooping them with the sticks. That donkey is like, this woman done lost her mind. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. But how many know she had that made room for salvation? Oh, glory to God. She had that made room. Oh, glory to God. For God is salvation. Oh, glory to God. She had constrained. In other words, she constrained the man of God. This is like a church that's used to constraining the anointing, pulling on God. Come on, worship. That's why we pull on you to worship. That's why when you come in here, we're like, worship God. Why? Because we're trying to teach you how to constrain, how to pull on God, how to, oh, glory to God, get God. Let me show you something. The Bible says that Jesus showed up at a wedding that he was invited to. Oh, glory to God. And here come Mary, his mama, who's a picture of the church also. Oh, glory to God. And said, they out of wine. Let me show you something. Because constraint also means persuasion. You have the ability to persuade. Come on, somebody. And she goes and she's like, they're out of wine. And she's like, you know what you got to do. And he's like, woman, it ain't my time. It ain't my season. And she, boy, do what he tell you to do. Come on. Glory to God. My God. She was pulling on God. He was the Son of God. Jesus, come on. Hallelujah. Do you have influence with God? Woo, can you influence God? Moses. Moses said, God, if you kill all of these people like you say you're going to kill all of these people, then they're going to say you didn't have the power to bring them out. And God was like, you know what? You're right, son. You telling me you can't influence God? Come on, okay, all right. All right, the Holy Ghost preaching better than y'all saying amen up in here today. Okay, all right. Where we at, daughters? I'm trying to get finished. I'm trying to get finished. Ooh, there's an anointing here. Somebody say, resurrect God. Resurrect every dead thing that in my life. Resurrect it. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Read.
Yes. Amen. That was good. And she went and she came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass that when the man of God saw her afar off, he said unto his servant Gehazi, behold, yonder is that Shunammite woman. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And the Shunammite woman answered and said, it is well.
You know, when you're going through hell, come on, everybody want to ask you, how are you doing? Child, how are you? It is well. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. You're not going to get me to relive all of this stuff, go back through all of these emotions. Come on. Oh, glory to God. It is well. God's working it out for me. Come on, somebody. It is well. That's all you need to know. Oh, glory to God. That's all you need to know. All right. Okay, read.
And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi, the servant, came near her to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord has hid it from me, and the Lord has not told me. Then the woman said, did I desire of son of my Lord? Did not I say, do not deceive me? Then he said to
me, you done prophesied to me, I done birthed this thing, and now it done died. Yes. Okay, that's basically what she was saying. I done birthed this thing, and now it done died. Sometimes it looked like, come on, sometimes we done bought into what the enemy has to say. Kind of like all the ladies that were going to Jesus' tomb with their baskets full of perfume and fragrance. Come on, that they done went to the store and spent all that money on because they hadn't bought into the fact that he was dead and he wasn't getting back up. What have you bought into? Look at your neighbor and say, what have you bought into? Glory to God. Read.
Then he said unto Gehazi,
I'm about to write me a book on the resurrection.
Then he said unto Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if anybody salutes you, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. And he arose and he followed her.
I ain't going nowhere without this. Read.
And Gehazi, the servant, passed on before them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened.
Tell somebody, everybody can't carry your anointing. Read. I got time to say that. Read.
And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and he shut the door upon them too. And he prayed unto the Lord, and he went up, and he lay upon the child, and he put his mouth upon the child's mouth, and his eyes upon the child's eyes, and his hands upon the child's
hands. In other words, he was stretching himself out upon the child. Oh, glory to God. See, let me show you something. Now that you understand that, guess what? I got keys. Oh, glory to God. All right, did y'all get this? Did y'all get that? Jesus said, I have the keys to the kingdom. I got keys. I got keys over life and death. Come on. Oh, glory to God. I got the keys. I can open up the grave and pull somebody back out. Are y'all getting this? Are y'all getting this? Come on. I determine. Oh, glory. I shut up and I open up. Come on, somebody. And so, because last week I asked you, I said, do you have Jesus on the inside of you?
Yeah, bye.
Do you have Jesus on the inside of you? What? You resurrected you. Come on. You person that can, you mean to tell me that you can pray for the dead and they can rise?
Good evening, and thank you for listening to our broadcast. I want to take a moment and invite you to our marriage conference, March the 16th and 17th. The location is 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock. That's Victory International Praise Church, 250 North Babcock in Melbourne, Florida. The Bible says we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And a lot of times marriages are going through some things because we do lack knowledge. The Bible says to dwell with your spouse according to knowledge. And so we want to give you some knowledge and even some wisdom. And so once again, the address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. We will be starting at 7 p.m. I pray that God will stir the hearts of even the spouses that you don't even believe would be willing to come, that God would stir their hearts to come and to be there. All right, God bless you. We love you.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, we have a question today that comes from Matthew 5:44. That's where Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Well, John, I'm wondering, how exactly do you pray for your enemies? Is that a prayer for their salvation, or is it something else?
That's a good question, Danny, and I'm sure there are some people who are praying the imprecatory psalms on the heads of their enemies, like David did, you know, kill him, Lord, kill him. But David was really being honorable in that, you know, zeal for God's house was eating him up, and the reproaches that people were casting on God were falling on him, and he was feeling the pain of God being dishonored. And there is a place for praying that God would silence those who dishonor him, that he would silence those who blaspheme him. I understand that. That's been part of the prayer life of the saints. You know, even under the altar in the book of Revelation, in the end of the age, the martyrs are saying, how long, O Lord, how long, how long are you going to allow your name to be dishonored? How long are you going to stand for that? But the primary responsibility that our Lord assigns to us in Matthew 5 is to pray for the blessing of our enemies, to pray for the salvation of our enemies. Because that same text in Matthew 5:44 says, because you are the children of your Father, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In other words, never are you more like God than when you love your enemies and pray for their salvation. Because while